Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, the 14th of January. We've got plenty to get through today, including updates on the water crisis and the future of the former Folkestone Library. And we'll hear from a former nurse who's launched a new bereavement group for grieving parents. But before we get into all of that, let's take a look at our top story for today. A list has been released of the best performing secondary schools in Kent when it comes to GCSE results. There's a lot of data to go through here. So to unpack it all, I've been speaking to Chris Bridger, who's features writer for Kent Online.
So these league tables, using data obtained from the Department of Education, effectively rank all the secondary schools in Kent on their attainment levels. This is achieved by using what is known as their Attainment 8 score. Now, Attainment 8 reflects how well pupils have performed in their GCSEs across a range of subjects, with extra weighting given to English and maths. The higher the score, the stronger a school's overall performance. Now, unsurprisingly, what we see is that grammar schools are quite comfortably outranking non-selectives, which is something you can probably guess at. Plus, there's a clear divide in the county. Selectives in the north and west, traditionally seen as the most affluent areas, dominate the top spots. For example, 5 of the top 10 are in either Tunbridge or Tunbridge Wells. Those in more deprived areas in the south and east at the opposite end. There are some exceptions, but in a broad brush review, the divide is clear to see. The same can also be said of the performance of non-selectives. Only 2 schools in the east of the county make the top 20. However, normally there's another score which tends to level the playing field somewhat. Progress 8, as it's known, looks at the performance of pupils from when they sit their key stage 2 exams, which is at the end of their primary school, and how they then perform 5 years later in their GCSEs. This gives a clearer indication of how schools foster the talents of their pupils, at whatever level that may be. However, this year and next, Progress 8 is missing. This is because of the disruption during the COVID pandemic, which meant those pupils now sitting GCSEs don't have those key stage 2 scores to compare to. In fairness, all the head teachers I spoke to, whether they were selectives or non-selectives, agreed that Progress 8 was an essential indicator for school performance. However, it shouldn't detract from the performance of pupils in whatever school, nor should they, those at the foot of the tables, be derided. They frequently are doing their very best with an intake facing a host of social deprivation challenges. What these figures will do, inevitably, is once again shine a light on the education divide we have in this county. And that's not just geographically, but through the grammar system we implement here. These figures clearly demonstrate that by selecting the most able children at the point of entry into secondary schools, they deliver quite comfortably the best results.
You can see the full list of schools and how they placed at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A man in his 40s has died following a crash involving a car and a tanker near Ashford. It happened on the A2070 in Ham Street yesterday afternoon as the vehicles travelled in opposite directions. The tanker driver was also injured as the vehicle jackknifed with the front part leaving the carriageway. 3 teenagers accused of murdering a man on Sheppey have gone on trial. 49-year-old Alexander Cashford suffered multiple injuries following the alleged attack in Laysdown last August. A 16-year-old girl and 2 boys aged 14 and 16 deny the charges. Proceedings started yesterday. Reporter Alex Langridge was there.
The prosecution opened their case on Tuesday and told the court how one of the teenagers was heard shouting, "You're a pedo," while chasing Mr. Cashford. She said that the group had been messaging the victim using a fake name and had arranged to meet with him. And just over an hour after that meeting, he was pronounced dead. They went on to tell the jury how several eyewitnesses had allegedly seen one of the defendants throwing rocks at Mr. Cashford while he was laying in the mud. The trial is being presided over by the High Court Judge, Miss Justice Bobby Chima-Grubb, and is expected to last 6 weeks.
A drug dealer has been jailed after police stopped an uninsured Jaguar in Tunbridge Wells. Officers found cocaine in the car last August. Body cam footage shows the moment Sab John Shehi was arrested.
But you're going to be detained, all right? We've done a few inquiries, and I don't think you are meeting anyone for one there. They're a bit confused as to why you've said you're meeting them. So you're detained at the moment. I think you're lying to us.
More drugs were found at his home on Granville Road in Sevenoaks. The 21-year-old's been locked up for 2 years. And investigations found the behaviour of officers did contribute to the death of an inmate at a Kent prison. Josh Tarrant was on remand at HMP Elmley on Sheppey when he went into cardiac arrest after being restrained at the end of October 2023. The 34-year-old also had cocaine in his system when he died and an underlying heart condition. Police have released a picture of a mysterious tattoo in a bid to identify a man whose body was found in the sea in Kent. The remains were discovered near St Mildred's Bay in Westgate on Sea just before 8pm on May 29th. The circumstances around his death remain unclear. Police say there's no evidence of foul play. A tattoo behind his left ear is one of the few distinguishable features. We've shared the picture at Kent Online, and anyone who recognises it is urged to come forward. Two people have been treated by paramedics following a fire at a house in Ashford. Crews were called to Earlsworth Road in the Willsborough part of town just after 3 this morning. At its height, 7 engines and a height vehicle were at the scene. It's not known yet how the fire started. Investigations are underway following a suspected arson attack at a nature reserve in Maidstone. 2 engines were called to Fant Nature Reserve on Monday afternoon to reports of a tool storage container on fire. £5,000 worth of equipment was damaged or destroyed. Police are treating the blaze as suspicious.
Kent Online News.
An update on the water crisis now, when residents are once again heading to bottled water stations in Kent as supplies are still not back to normal. South East Water customers in various parts of the county have been experiencing disruption for several days. Kent County Council Leader Lyndon Kemp-Karen says she no longer has confidence in company boss David Hinton.
Kent has suffered one too many times with water supply issues, and I have had enough. Twice in the space of a month, South East Water has failed us. I'm angry on behalf of all those people who've been without running water. And I'm angry on behalf of all the businesses who've been forced to shut up shop and lost a whole heap of money. And I'm angry for the farmers who have cows to milk, equipment to flush through, water butts to fill for the animals and machinery to clean. So I've written to the board of South East Water asking them urgently to consider the leadership and to take immediate action to restore public confidence and to deliver the level of service that as customers we rightly expect. I no longer have confidence in the Chief Executive, David Hinton, and I believe he should resign. We pay our bills. We can't just pick another water supplier. We know that South East Water has not invested properly in maintaining the infrastructure. It is totally unacceptable, and I'm afraid that heads must roll.
Stuart Jeffrey is the leader of Maidstone Borough Council. He's told Ellie Hodgson South East Water's performance has been poor.
Certainly over the weekend, a lot of people were on that priority list, were waiting for visits and contacting me, and we were having to pass those details on to South East Water. It felt quite chaotic, and certainly the messages that were coming out of South East Water were pretty awful in terms of being utterly inaccurate at times. So we are liaising as best we can with South East Water so that the council can get the right information out to the public through our own channels, as well as leaving some of the work to be done by South East Water.
And final thing, I don't know if you've seen it's dropped in, obviously David Hinton gave evidence in Parliament last week. Did you see that?
Yes.
Yes. Well, today he's been recalled because the evidence he's been given, basically he's been considered as too many inconsistencies. Any thoughts on that? Do you have any thoughts on whether David Hinton should resign?
I mean, I think Hinton and the chairman of South East Water need to really consider whether they're in the right job. I mean, clearly they've made a complete mess of Kent over the last few months. So they've got one job to do and they seem to be failing it. So, they need to think long and hard about their career prospects.
You can get the latest on the water outages by clicking on the story on the homepage of Kent Online. Elsewhere, there are concerns South East Water is choosing to carry out emergency repairs rather than planned closures because it's cheaper. It's after people living in Newnham and Doddington complained when emergency closures of Faversham Road left them cut off 6 times in just 1 year. Planned closures are £250 more expensive to carry out. Water bosses say they're investigating the issues raised.
Kent Online News.
It seems Kent County Council are moving ahead with a decision to sell the former Folkestone Library building. The historic site on Grace Hill has been closed since 2022 because of flood damage. A campaign has been underway to bring it back into use, and a petition with more than 1,300 signatures was presented to local bosses before they met yesterday. Folkestone and Hythe MP Tony Vaughan spoke to Chloe Brewster from our colleagues at KMTV while the meeting was taking place.
Under the previous Conservative conservative regime at KCC and also now under reform, there had been a request for a very long time for the KCC to partner with the local community, the Safe Folkestone Library Campaign and Creative Folkestone, so they could go and bid for these heritage funds to allow the building to be brought back into use. And they didn't do that. The Tories didn't do it and Reform didn't do it. And we've got to the point now where Reform are saying, oh, well, it's too late to do all of that. And, you know, we've just got to sell it off. And frankly, that is the lazy option. And despite the, you know, 1,300 signatures that I delivered to KCC this morning, it's a real shame to hear reports of what's been decided at this meeting, which I think is still going on now.
Yeah, so the meeting did seem to go on and there was lots sort of back and forth. There was some comment about how 1,300 signatures, that wasn't very many. What's your response to that?
Well, I put this up under 5 days ago, and in 5 days, under 5 days, we've had 1,300 signatures calling on KCC to partner with the community and Creative Folkestone and the Safe Folkestone Library Campaign to allow this building to be rejuvenated. Now, there have been previous petitions that have called on KCC to save the library, and both the Tories and Reform have just sat on those petitions. They haven't done anything with them, and now they're making this decision to sell it off. I just think it's a complete and utter disgrace, and it's a disgrace also to see that there are Reform councillors who aren't even in the cabinet, like Mary Law, saying it's a great idea. And I would say just shame on her. This is a real issue for people in Folkestone, and the fact that they're building a temporary library in the meantime to there's already temporary provision is not the point. This is about the long-term future of the library provision for Folkestone, and it just isn't good enough to take the lazy option here.
So do you not agree that it would be financially irresponsible to keep holding the library building then?
If Reform had pulled their finger out and partnered with the community to obtain grants to make this building usable again, we would not be in this position. I'm not saying that the KCC should put their hand in their pocket and pay for the refurbishments themselves. The whole point of this was to get them to work with the community so that grants to maintain the building could be found. And they just haven't done that. Now, they're either because they're incompetent or because they wanted to sell this off all along. And I think we now see the consequences of that incompetence.
KCC say they're turning the new library on Sandgate Road into a community hub instead, and the door remains fully open to alternative proposals. Bosses in Medway have sold a business park in a bid to meet their budget shortfall. Council have agreed the sale of Gillingham Business Park for just under £7 million. The 100-acre site between the A2 and Hoth Way is home to Aldi, Poundland and Screwfix. We're being warned to expect heavy rain in Kent tomorrow. A yellow weather alert's been issued from 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. covering the west and south of the county. Forecasters say there's a chance of flooding and travel disruption. Now, a Kent nurse who lost her own son to a rare condition has launched a new bereavement support group for parents who have lost a child. Amber Selvey founded peer support group Together in Grief 2 years after her 24-year-old son died from a genetic disorder. The 51-year-old says her own experience showed that there was a lack of services for parents struggling through grief. She says the group, based in Whitstable, offers parents a place to talk, listen and connect.
After losing my son, I decided to retrain as a counsellor. So I was still doing my nursing, but I felt that I needed something more to sort of get involved with. I didn't just want to go back to doing my nursing and end up just continuing until getting retirement without doing a little bit more. So I decided to go back to uni and retrain. So I'm doing both alongside it. And as part of my training, I'd been in contact with East Kent Minds through Revival, which is local to me in Whitstable, because I'd done some research last year on one of my modules. Whilst I was talking to them, they knew a little bit about my background and had asked me about what support I'd been offered afterwards. And although I know there is support out there, obviously through my nursing, I know, you know, but we've unfortunately lost children, that parents are given support and offered support, and there is, you know, counselling through GPs. But I found, myself, when my son didn't die in hospital, no support was offered. And after the initial check-ins, unless you seek it, you're not really offered anything else. So this year, as part of one of my modules, I had to design a group for community. And so I decided to design a bereavement group for specifically for parents, because during my research I found there's quite a few support groups for women and mothers, but not a lot for men and fathers. So I wanted to make this group and design it. It could be inclusive to both parents. And through my nursing, I found that often families and couples particularly struggle after having lost a child, whether it's been sudden or whether they've had a long-term condition, and relationships often break down because people struggle they to grieve and be to grieve together, because it can be quite a sort of vicious cycle. You know, there's no timeline to grief and there's no way to grieve. It does go round in circles, so people often aren't able to grieve together as a lot of relationships break down. So yeah, I just did this. It was a theoretical group to begin with, and I'm actually doing my placement with East Kent Mind and Revival shortly, and they then contacted me and said would I actually put this group into practice as a volunteer for them. So yeah, we've just started it, not running this month because they're closed in January, but we'll be starting up again in February. And it's just a drop-in group that anybody can come along to. You don't have to sign up for it, and hopefully it'll just be a space where parents can find connection, feel less isolated, and not have to explain to people how they're feeling or anything else. So yeah, we can hopefully grow it and be a useful resource for people.
She's been able to complete a counselling degree thanks to grants from the EV Dove Foundation, which helps fund training for healthcare professionals.
Kent Online News.
Plans have been put in to build 350 homes on the edge of a village in Medway. If approved, the development would increase the population of All Hallows by at least half. The proposals also include space for a children's nursery and mobility hub with EV charging ports. Developers behind plans for a business park on Sheppey have submitted plans to include a petrol station. More than 30 units are going to be built next to the rugby ground on Lower Road in Minster. An updated application has now emerged. The petrol station will be just a minute's drive from another one due to be built off the Barton Hill Drive roundabout. A Sheppey landlord has been fined after refusing to demolish an unlawfully built outbuilding. Hague Squire put up a large detached structure at the property on First Avenue in Queenborough despite not having planning permission. Neighbours raised concerns back in 2019. He's now been ordered to pay more than £28,000 and demolish the building. There are concerns a new policy aimed at controlling the number of HMOs in Maidstone is inadequate. It was adopted 6 months ago and gives council the power to reject applications in areas where there is a high density of houses of multiple occupation. Some councillors say those powers are limited to only a portion of applications and are asking for residents to give feedback. Restoration of an historic building in Faversham Town Centre is set to start next year. The Guildhall dates back to 1572, but a recent survey found it was in need of essential work to preserve it for future generations. £300,000 is being spent on the renovations, which are due to start next April.
Kent Online News.
A mum who tried to set up a coffee truck business in Maidstone has been forced to withdraw her application following concerns about alcohol sales. Joanne Wellman planned to use a converted horse box to sell hot drinks and snacks on the Oakwood Park campus, where several schools and colleges are based. She faced backlash after applying for an alcohol license, which she insists would only be used for events. Concerns were also raised about road safety and the impact on pupils' health. Stroke services run by East Kent Hospitals have been named the best in the country. A national audit's been carried out to measure the quality of care, including assessment times and speed of treatment. East Kent have been given an A rating for the period between July and September last year. And Eurostar has hit a significant milestone by carrying its 400 millionth customer. The service started in 1994, but trains haven't stopped in Kent since COVID. Passenger levels this year have hit record levels.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Chatham Town will host Southend United in the fifth round of the FA Trophy. The Essex side beat Bath City last night after their game at the weekend was postponed. They'll be heading to Chatham at the end of the month. And in tennis, Kent's Emma Raducanu had her first win of the year after beating Camilla Osorio to beat the quarterfinals of the Hobart International. After rain stopped play yesterday, the game resumed with the Brit 4-2 down in the second set, but she fought back to progress. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.